It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors,
O'Neill Williams is your guide. Girls from high in the mountains in North Georgia in the Bojangles studio, O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Did I say that twice? Welcome to the program, everyone. This is O'Neill. We have another hour of outdoors headed your way, and we'll be getting to all your calls in just a moment. It's my pleasure to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside Television, Pursuit Channel, Fox stations all over the country, the Hunt Channel, and on and on and on. Ad nauseum, it's on every day, everywhere. It's my pleasure to tell you also that this program is brought to you by Hayes Family Dealership, CVA Muzzleloaders, Realtree, Striplings, QDMA, Tough Shed, Pennington, Zach Brown, Southern Grind Knives, Thoroughgood Boots, the Governor's Gun Club, Horsetown, Cherokee County Toyota, Snellville Heating and Air, and Swaggerty's Sausage. So, let's see, you can hear us on WSB all over the country, 38 states east of the Mississippi River, and of course the Sports Broadcast Radio Network nationwide and worldwide, all the way from the West Coast to Houston and Dallas and St. Louis, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Washington, and all over the country. So welcome to the program. It's 7:30 after the hour. Have you purchased my book yet? Okay, a very self-serving promotion. O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. It's an observation of the people and places I've met along the way in 65 years in the outdoors. And I would invite you to get that for a reading for maybe for Christmas, to make it as a gift. It's not the great American novel, by no means, but it's good reading. And in the balance of that book, there are 13 fabulous big green egg recipes. And you can enjoy those along with the, along with the balance of the book. So, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255 if you'd like to join the program. We have a lot of calls about podcasting and how to be a better bass fisherman, and we'll get to those when we return. This is O'Neill.
Every morning when you come downstairs.
Welcome back. We have a lot of calls. You're listening to O'Neill Outside. Let's start off this bit with Mac. He's calling with the Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac. What's going on?
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing, buddy?
Lovely. You fishing today?
I am going to fish today. I think we might start a little bit. Make sure we're going to let this rain get out here, and then we can get after it.
You know? There you go.
So, man, fishing's been good. It's changed. It's really taken on a definite more of a winter feel, the techniques, and a lot of spoon fishing going on all over the
South. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, it's really ramped up.
And, that's very efficient, isn't it?
It is. It's probably one of the fastest ways to catch fish.
You don't have to make a cast.
No, you drop it down there, reel it in, drop it down there, reel it in.
There you go.
Of course, you got to find them. That's the key. You still got to find them. But we've got a lot of fish on Lanier, and I've talked to people on other lakes who are seeing similar patterns where you're getting a lot of fish back up in the creeks, and they're congregating. They're looking. They're getting around those big schools of bait. Very typical pattern for this time of year.
All right, let me surprise you with a question. Ready?
All right.
If you can, tell me what is the greatest surprise, or the most often surprise about angling that your guest might react to? What are they surprised with? What do they find out that they hadn't found out before?
Two things come to mind immediately. One, how deep we're fishing.
Okay.
A lot of people are surprised and intimidated by fishing 50, 60 feet. And the biggest thing with the guys striper fishing is how light the tackle is.
Okay, good. Those are two good answers.
I mean, a lot of times they look at the rods and reels and wonder what we're fishing for. They think we're fishing for something other than the stripers. No, that's what we're using today. Because I do not hesitate to use what would be on the light end of what most people consider the light end of bass tackle, mm-hmm. and a lot of 8 and 10 pound test. And I think it, most times it catches you more fish. And of course, here on Lanier, now I don't think twice about dropping my spoon 50, 60, 70 feet, which really surprises people. But that's okay. pretty common. And it's not just in this lake either.
Well, that's my next question. That answer that you've given me is an answer that would apply if you're fishing in Virginia or Kentucky or Texas.
Absolutely. And this time of year, when oxygen levels tend to be fairly uniform in lakes, there's no limitation to where they can go shallow or deep. You have some shallow fish too. But I know, matter of fact, we put it on your timeline. We shot a video last year at Lake Kiawee, mm-hmm. dropping the super spoon, fishing for spotted bass with Charles Townsend. And probably the average depth of all the fish we caught that day was 60 or 65 feet.
What a great answer. What a great demonstration that you can learn by going with a guide, certainly with Mac. That's great.
And that's what we're getting. We're getting ready to wear the paint off a spoon right now.
Good for you. Good luck to you today, Mac. Be sure and turn on the Georgia game in the afternoon.
Oh, that's a given. We've already established the quit time today's 11:30. We've got to get back to that.
All right, good for you. Have a great weekend, Mac.
Thank you, O'Neill. Do the same. Everybody be safe out there.
You bet. See you later. That's Captain Mac, and you can find him all over the Internet. Now, on O'Neill Outside, let's see. Michael is calling from Peachtree City. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, O'Neill. You sounding good today.
Well, thank you very, very much. Would you listen to a podcast?
I'm a regular podcast listener on a variety of topics, and I believe that this is an absolute natural expansion of your show, not only to reach a larger audience, but to have some historical value. One of the previous callers suggested that I could listen to it anytime, and that's exactly the value of the podcast. You have some interesting topics that people can listen to, and you can search it, you can find it, you can distribute it on all kinds of different outlets like podcast links and web pages and YouTube and Facebook. And it's a natural new way to get your word out there.
Well, and it allows you to listen to it at noon instead of 4 in the morning.
And you can put it on pause if you have a call, and then you can come back to it. And then you can listen to it again if you miss something.
Well, I'm a rookie at listening to it myself, but I do appreciate that comment. That's what I'm going to do. Now, last question for you, sir. If you can, if you don't mind, think about it. If I were to interview someone on a podcast, what would be one or two or three of the most interesting people that you might pick?
Well, the thing I don't know is what your intended audience is. Now, I've never been hunting. I haven't fished since I was a kid, and I love your show because it's entertaining.
Thank you.
So you have an opportunity to get into a crossover audience that has no active interest in or potential interest in hunting and fishing, but you also have the opportunity to teach them about what it is that you do, because there are a lot of controversial topics that can be associated with hunting and fishing, and you have an opportunity to neutralize a lot of those. So those are some of the ideas that I had.
Terrific observation. You are quite
right. Some of my favorite radio programs has been your interviews with these DNR folks.
Oh, yes.
These are just so fascinating. If you can get those on a podcast, you don't have to do them once a year. You put them on your podcast, and people can hear them over and over again, and then they can search for them when they're interested in their topic, in that topic.
I really do appreciate that, Michael, because I'm going to do that.
And one other thing, you said that you can't do ads on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every podcast person starts the first 4 minutes saying, this podcast is brought to you by whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so you can indeed get your podcast sponsored.
Well, I thank you. That's really good. And I appreciate your observation that even though you're not a hunter and fisherman, but you would listen to it because of what you could learn from my guests.
Absolutely. And
good
from
deal.
You.
Well, thank you so much. You're very kind to call this morning, and I thank you for taking that time. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
You bet. What a great call. All the great calls. Okay, it's 19 after the hour. Let's talk to Blaze. Good morning. This is O'Neill.
Good morning, O'Neill. I hope you're doing well after Thanksgiving.
I'm doing very well. And so what is the subject of your call this morning?
The young man, Austin.
Yes.
He could help you on your podcast.
Yes, he could, couldn't he?
The youth, to represent the young people.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
He is on his own calling you to reconnect with you and tell you how much you mean to him, which I'm sure is very valuable. And he is fortunate enough to have a dad who takes him hunting and et cetera. But he has a young person's perspective of the value of what you're trying to do with
your show.
Yes,
he does. That's an excellent observation. I'm going to do the podcast.
And I think Austin ought to at least be the beginning of it or the end of it every time.
Okay. Great idea.
All right.
Great idea. I'll have all sorts of people on there, and we'll see how this goes. I know there's a lot of places you can place a podcast and make it available to the public.
Well, if Woman Williams was right by your side, and I'm sure she needs a rest, she'd say the same thing.
We're going to do it. Thank you for your support.
God bless you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's great, isn't it? Okay. It's 21 after the hour. I got to go to a break and at 22, 1 minute. And I will tell you, upon that return, we will have a very, very valuable portion of the program. It's our salute to the silent heroes, those EMTs, police, firefighters, those guys that you don't know their names, you don't know what they do, but they voluntarily have accepted a position and sought out a position so that they could be of service. And they're all heroes, and they are silent heroes, and it's brought to you every Saturday morning by the Ronnie Thames Foundation, which supports silent heroes. This is O'Neill. We'll do that when we return, then more calls.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by FireAid.
This is about the California fires. Welcome back. Silent Hero for November the 24th, 2018. He was just blocks away from his own home, engaged in a firefight, well aware that his own home was probably already on fire. But he had to stay on his mission and keep doing his job. U.S. Forest Service Feather River Hotshot Crew Captain Leland Ratcliffe. He warned his family of the fire after his intuition told him that the smoke he saw from the adjoining town, Paradise, California, meant that a fire was coming that would rapidly destroy the town. As his family fled to safety, Ratcliffe said he was faced with a decision. Do I go try and save other stuff from his own home, or do I go to try to let other people know what's going on? You know which one he chose. He decided to work to evacuate the residents and get them on Forest Service vehicles and flee to safety. He said it didn't sink in until much later that he had lost all of his personal items, such as his wedding photos and his children's kindergarten handprints. The guilt doesn't come until afterwards when you realize you don't have that stuff anymore. You always want to think that life is more important than property. Doesn't make it any easier. And Ratcliffe is still in action. When I wrote this a couple of weeks ago in the California fire, his name, U.S. Forest Service Feather River Hotshot Captain Leland Ratcliffe, our silent hero for the 24th. So, okay, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Let's talk to Hank the Yank this morning at 27 after the hour. What do you say?
Well, I got a question for you.
Go.
You being a fisherman.
Yes.
I've heard of a long-distance cast. which I'm sure you have.
Yes.
And I've heard of a short cast.
Yes.
What's a podcast?
I've never heard a podcast before, but I'm going to.
Oh, boy.
I think Hank the Yank would be a prime candidate to record to put on a podcast. What do you think?
I'll let you be the judge of that. If you want to kill your audience, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. They won't be able to tell where you're from.
No, they won't.
No.
They won't. I've actually done a number of podcasts over the last few years on fly fishing for stripers.
Oh, good.
With Orvis and a couple other places, so I'm a little familiar with it.
Fantastic.
Anyway,
more so than me.
So let me tell you what's going on.
Please do.
So do you want to hear the shocking news or do you want to hear the fishing news?
Oh, I want to hear the shocking news first.
Guess who's going fishing this morning?
Hank the Yank.
No, Kevin Fluffy Arculio.
Oh, my goodness, Kevin Fluffy Arculio.
Your favorite financial advisor.
Oh, he's something, isn't he?
He's going wishing. So, but let me tell you what's going on for the
Please.
Fly anglers out there. So on Lanier, the fishing has been really tough this year. I'm not going to kid you and pull any punches as a guide. I'd love to say it's great, come on out, this and that. I canceled 3 trips this week. Two because of weather. Mm-hmm. It's just been blowing and blowing. I mean, we've just had front after front after front, which makes fishing really, really difficult. And then because our fish, as you know, we're looking for fish on the surface right now this time of year. And when there's weather that just isn't stable and it goes from rains to front to high bluebird skies and high pressure and we get no stability, the fish tend to lay deeper and they sulk down deep. And that's exactly what's happening. So the weather has really hindered our taking trips, as is the fishing. It's just not all that good this year. We've started off with a really tough year. And, I want to just throw a question out to you, because one thing I've noticed, I don't hunt, but all my good friends do. And what we've all noticed this year with the weather pattern, which I think is really interesting, is that the leaves are still on the trees.
Oh,
here we are, the end of November, and the leaves are still on the trees everywhere. And I just wonder, the birds that we normally have on Lanier, the gulls and terns, are starting to come in, but they've shown up late. The white pelicans that we usually have the end of October just showed up this week. And I just wonder if, what your thoughts are to that this year, looking at what you see in the trees up at the lean-to.
Okay. I don't know about the birds, but I can tell you that the trees lose their moisture through the leaves. So we, here at the cabin, we have 10 inches more of rain this year already than last year. So the trees have lots of moisture in them. So they keep the leaves and retain that moisture. If the trees are dry and there hadn't been much rain, they drop their leaves early so that the tree can retain its moisture.
Now, listen, that is exactly why, not only do I contribute or try to contribute to your program, but this is exactly why I listen to your program. I had no idea of that.
Yep.
So, very interesting.
That's why that's why the leaves stay on the trees longer if the tree has lots of moisture.
I gotcha. So I'm wondering if having all this extra rain has thrown things, has made things come a little later, or if we're just we're just having, quite frankly, just a poor season because of all the fronts and the weather pattern that we're having over the last 3-4
Could be. Good question.
Goofy. So anyway, so fishing wise, the one good thing that has started is I am starting to get reports all over the lake about the dock light bite, and that is something that usually fires up around December, and it's starting to fire up. Just about now, just starting. We are so on the front side of it. But guys that want to get a few extra bites can go out after dark or go out before first light in the morning and, hit some dock lights on, especially if you can find lights that have the what we call the hydroglow or the big green monsters. Those fish are like magnets to those lights. And So it's just a good way to get a few customers, a few extra bites. And
good idea.
That's something you could do.
And that's a good idea.
Outside of that, O'Neill, the delayed harvest fishing has been just spectacular on the rivers that in and around Georgia. We have 5 delayed harvest streams, one right here in metro Atlanta, and it's been fishing really, really well. So that's the other thing you could do with a kid nowadays is get a pair of waders, take them into the delayed harvest stream down at Cobb 41 and just have a ball. It's easy wading and easy fishing, and you don't have to go above your knees. And there's plenty of trout as long as you're using a single hook. It doesn't have to be fly. You can go with a spinning rod and a single hook and have a ball with a kid.
And you can and everyone can find out about how to do that and take a child there during the holidays here in Christmas and throughout the year by going to the Department of Natural Resources website and find out all about it. I'll bet you.
Yeah, you can do it. Jeff Derniak and his crew do just a spectacular job.
Good.
We are blessed to have those guys as part of our partnership locally here. So the DNR just does a great job, and we can't thank them enough. So,
okay, are you fishing today, Hank?
I am not. I have a trip tomorrow, and we're going to give it the old college try.
Good deal. You'll be listening to ball game today, right?
I'm going to be dressed in red. I'll have my red underwear on to my red cap.
Fantastic. Have a great day, pal.
You too, buddy. Bye.
You bet. See you later. There you are. It's 34 after the hour. Let's talk to Aaron. Is calling from somewhere in Texas. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron. I'm calling from Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, Texas. Well, welcome to the program. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you. First time caller, and I was just going to call. I'm heading out to Squaw Creek Reservoir, which is a very good lake this time of year because it is heated by the reactor from a nuclear power plant.
Oh, boy. So I guess
out there right now.
I'll bet you the water stays warm, doesn't it?
Currently, right now, the fish are starting to spawn. It's still in the far side, they're starting to spawn. It's 65 degrees.
That's wonderful. Aaron, how old are you, sir?
I'm 13.
Well, good. I bet you're an accomplished fisherman. How long have you been fishing now?
I've been fishing in a club for about a year now, yeah.
Well, wonderful. What's your biggest bass so far?
It's probably about an 8-pound bass.
Oh, my goodness. Well, everything's big. Everything's bigger in Texas anyway, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, I do appreciate your calling. Good luck to you today, Aaron. And please, please call back. We won't be on the air next week, but please do call back in the next few weeks and tell me about your adventures. Will you do that?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good deal. Good luck to you, young man.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Good day. How about that? A 13-year-old, 35 after the hour, which I can't take another call. I don't have a chance for this, but I'm going to tell you about my book, O'Neill Outside, and one of the stories in that book, and his calling at 13 years old reminded me. He had a good friend. His name is Rick. And Rick, when we were 13 and 14 years old, Rick and I went to the catfish ponds around the county where we lived. And we would take whole kernel corn and we would bait a big spot out in front of where we fished. And see, we would go on Saturday. My mother would deliver us to the lake, and his mother would pick us up in the afternoon. And that's the job that Rick and I had. We caught enough fish and sold them to the other fishermen that had paid to fish there that day. And we would fish all day, Rick and I would, and we'd make $7 or $8 each. And that was back during a time that you worked for tips, you know, by carrying groceries out. So we did pretty well. And considering what I've done in my life on radio and television, and Rick spent, I'm overtime. I'm sorry. I apologize, all you engineers, and I'll be back later.
Courage and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Medal of Honor recipient Maurice Britt, Captain, U.S. Army, November 1943, Italy. Disdaining enemy hand grenades and close-range machine gun, pistol, machine gun, and rifle fire, Lieutenant Britt inspired and led a handful of his men in repelling a bitter counterattack by approximately 100 Germans against his company position. During the intense firefight, Lieutenant Britt's canteen and field glasses were shattered. A bullet pierced his side. His chest, face, and hands were covered with grenade wounds. Despite those wounds, he personally killed 5 Germans, wounded an unknown number more, wiped out 1 enemy machine gun crew, and fired 5 clips and threw 32 fragmented grenades. His bold, aggressive, utterly disregarding superior enemy numbers resulted in the capture of 4 Germans, dozens killed, 2 of the others wounded, and enabled several captured Americans to escape. Lieutenant Britt's courage was responsible for repulsing a German counterattack. Maurice Britt, Medal of Honor recipient, Italy, 1943. Wow. All right, 41 after the hour, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. I'm sorry for not reading properly all of these things. I put them together in the middle of the night, and sometimes I'm not a professional announcer, okay? I'm just a fisherman and hunter. 42 after the hour. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta, Georgia area, or outside 800-WSB-TALK, which translates into 972-8255. I've got a heck of a trip coming up this week. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to Pensacola Beach. Well, Pensacola Bay in Navarre Beach in the Florida Panhandle, and I'm fishing with a fellow by the name of Eddie Woodall. He has a guide business called Full Net Charters, and you'll see how often that I go with guides. If I'm not bass fishing in a local lake that I already know about, I always use a guide, because you will learn more about the techniques, the when, the where, the how, all about wherever it is that you're going to fish by using a guide. He will tell you more about it in one day's fishing or 2 days than you can learn on your own in 10 years, which is an example, again, for Travis. Now, Travis Johnson is my grandson. He's 27 years old, and up until the last few weeks, he lived in the far northeast corner of the panhandle of Texas. He now is moved. He bought a home in Oklahoma, Sweetwater, Oklahoma, and he lives there, and he is a full-time deer guide, and turkey and hogs and coyotes and all kinds of things. Do you suppose, as an example, if you spent one day with him or a weekend with him and to a deer hunt, that you would learn something about the area? I'll bet you would. I know last year in the 2017 season of whitetail hunting, he and his clients, they killed 67 whitetails. But of course, it's Texas, and all you do is kind of pull off the road and there's a deer standing there. But that's antelope, whitetail, even early in the season, muleys. Long distance shooting for coyotes. And he did, this rascal took a couple of days off, well, about a week. And he and his buddy and a friend of mine too, Dakota Russell, they went to Colorado. And in public land, each one of them took a 5x5 elk. Cut it up, and packed it out on horseback at 9,000 feet elevation. That wouldn't be something I could still do, but they did, and it was a terrific adventure. And as much as people enjoy going to baseball and football games, I can guarantee you there's no baseball or football game that would compare to the experience they had on that trip, taking two elk and packing them out. And I'm going to get some of the elk meat, that's for sure. So, 45 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. This is our 28th year on WSB. Please, you've got some, this is a holiday weekend, and you've got some holidays coming up around Christmas time. Please make plans to spend some outdoor time with your children. And you've heard me say this right here over and over and over and over again. You don't have to kill anything or catch anything to enjoy the outdoors. Take a hike. Be safe, but take a hike along a hiking trail somewhere here in the Carolina Mountains or Georgia or Tennessee. And when you do, step off the trail, have a seat, and be quiet. And put a clock on it. And you'll find out that the woods will open up. The sound of the wildlife will open up all around you, and you'll be able to witness mice and squirrels, crows, hawks, all type of flying and crawling critters. And to a child, you don't have to catch a 10-pound bass or kill a 180-class deer. It's 47 after the hour. Now let's talk to Gene, is calling on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, O'Neill. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but okay. I understand that you can hear me.
I can indeed. So well, what shall we discuss this morning?
I wanted to let you know about the program that I attended earlier this month, put on by the Department of Natural Resources, called Becoming an Outdoor Woman.
Okay, describe it to us and what you got from.
I'm sorry?
I said describe the program and what you received from it.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, this is...
Gene can't hear me very well, evidently. Describe the Outdoors Woman program, Gene, and what you got from it.
I'm sorry, O'Neill, I cannot hear you. The connection is so bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gene attended the Department of Natural Resources Outdoor Women classes and instruction there, and I wish she could hear me so she could describe that. But she can't. Gene, call back, if you will, please. Let's drop. Have we got a problem, Jason? You suppose? Gene, okay, it's her phone. Well, you need to call back, Gene, please. Right now, let's talk to. Is it Gage? Good morning, this O'Neill. You're on the radio.
Well, O'Neill.
We're having problems with our communication, evidently. This is O'Neill. Are you on the radio? All right, let me click that right there. And this is, good morning. You're on the radio. Who's this?
This is Craig from Tie-Tie, Georgia.
Hey, Craig, what do you say?
I say you got to hurry up and finish the other book, because I done read the other one twice. How about that?
Well, thank you very much. That's quite a compliment. Let me use this as a self-promotion then. What would you say about the book that people would enjoy?
Well, what I would say to it, O'Neill, after you know, I'm a 24-year listener at least, and I hit the website every morning. And by the way, that's my book you're signing in there, and I appreciate it. My wife says I replay it to hear my name on your website every morning. But anyway, okay. I would say that it carries me back to everything I did when I was a kid growing up on a farm in South Georgia. from that, going with your parents. I love all that about your parents, the history. Of course, like I said, now a lot of this is just reminiscing for me because I've listened to you so long, I feel like I know all those stories, and that's my kudos to that's luck for me. But it was wonderful, and then it gets up into the friends that you carry through life with you. And last not least, of many things that's in there, we get to the end of it, we learn how to cook on the big green egg, which I have purchased since buying that book.
Good for you.
That ain't why I called. I called about the podcast. Now, what kind of fishing reel are you going to use for one of them podcasting things?
What kind of what, sir? Greg,
what kind of fishing reel are you going to use on that podcast?
A well-oiled one. Gives me the opportunity to tell you. I'll tell you guys all about it next week and the following week. I will come out with a line of reel loops, gun oil, gun cleaners, and boat cleaners, and they'll be out in a few weeks.
It'll be on the website.
It will be on the website in a couple of 3 weeks, in which you can purchase this stuff, and it's all made from biofuel.
Cool.
So there isn't any oil, if we know of it. There isn't any oil in it, but it is oil. And from a hunter's standpoint, the attraction is it's completely odorless.
That's right.
So
them petroleum-based earls, they kind of stank in the woods.
Yes, they do. And these are, this is a biofuel. But we'll get to all that. I do appreciate you reading the book and calling and telling us about it. And your reaction to it is most valuable.
Yep, and I know you got folks calling at the end of the show, but look here, it's a wonderful Christmas present to all you granddads, to your grandsons, all you sons, to your granddads. You just can't go wrong. I can't say enough good about it, and we'll see you next week, O'Neill.
Mighty fine. Thanks for calling, Craig. You bet. Now, one of the things I didn't get to, I will now. You can purchase, you can find, you can go to O'NeillOutside.com. And right there on the home page, you can order the book. And as you do so, if you tell me in your order, which is very self-explanatory, I will dedicate the book and personalize, and with a autograph or signature, I guess is better, and I will personalize and sign the book. So, you know, and if you enjoy reading it, call and tell me about it. I hope so. I have another book in the works, which I'll finish pretty soon, but it certainly won't be before Christmas, and this one will be ready. It is ready for you to purchase at Christmas time. Go to O'NeillOutside.com, and you can do the Southern Grind guest book there, and you can order the book, The O'Neill Outside, People and Places, along the way. It's almost 54 after the hour. This is O'Neill, a short segment when we return.
Day still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line.
You've been listening to O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB and the Sports Broadcast Nation worldwide and on Facebook. And it's 57 after the hour, and we've got for one more quick call from Danny, calling from Helen. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, O'Neill, how are you?
Lovely. Good to hear from you.
I'm actually at one of the quietest places in our beloved state of Georgia. I'm right on the edge of Tallulah Gorge and talking about quiet. And then all of a sudden, I can hear the siren of the powerhouse down in the gorge going off. So,
oh, boy.
But, yeah, I talked to your production manager, and I'm getting ready to start a nonprofit thing. I'm almost 60. My house is paid for. I'm ready just to dedicate my life to taking kids, you know, kids with cancer, you know, anybody that just doesn't get to go. I'm actually taking my dad and my brother-in-law this morning down on Lake Tugelo fishing.
Okay.
So But I had a question for you. I told you, production guy, I'd send some literature on what I'm doing. You might be able to help me out with that a little bit. So
I'd love to. You should be in touch with. I can't talk long about it now, but
right,
you should
right.
be in touch with me via my website, and I'll help you all I can.
Okay. All right. Real quick, I've got a 4-acre lake there in Helen,
uh-huh.
and I've been wanting to put some catfish in it, but will catfish bother the bass and the brim that are in there? And they're very healthy. Last year, the biggest largemouth was 8 pounds and 4 ounces.
I personally, you should telephone some of the professional people that handle ponds. You can see the ads
right.
for those in GON.
Okay.
I would personally leave catfish out of it.
Okay. All right.
All right, I got to go, pal.
Thank you for what you do, and I will. I'll send that stuff, and we'll take some kids fishing.
Mighty fine. That's a beautiful job. Almost out today. Listen, if you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along, you're too busy. This is O'Neill. We'll be away next week, but we'll be back all in December, and this is O'Neill.
Just an old sweet song. Keeps Georgia on my mind.
WSBB-FM.